And now, I'd like to show my love by making for you a Quebec pizza.
What's that?
Pop-Tart with the ketchup. She's good.
Daniel Parmack, San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough roads to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Ba-la-la-la-la.
It's showtime.
This is Old School to Movies, episode 167 for October 8th, 2018. Old School to Movies is brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows like Wrestling Cheers, Tim and Tom, and 450. Soon. Coming soon. What the fuck happened? My tablet just died. Okay, welcome back to Old School with the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. Live to tape, folks. Sometimes the technology doesn't work as expected. I am your host, Mr. Old School, along with my partner in crime, Mr. Heavyset. If there's a need, let's pretend. Oh, here we go. Heavyset.
If there's a need for a rescue mission, when the world is threatened, when the world needs help, it calls on America. So I know who's asked to kick.
What we're doing this show again? Like, can we talk about how it took you longer than it was supposed to?
I don't recall because it's been so long. So I actually don't remember ever recording this show. It's been literally so long that I don't even remember how to do this.
Well, it was like the Sunday before your birthday. We sat down and we recorded a very quick episode because right. The only time for us to do reviews, and there was a lot of reviews to do. And then you even said in the intro, somewhere along the lines of, because I won't use and I quote because I won't quote it right, but somewhere along the lines of like, hey, this should be out on my birthday,
yeah,
and for all on Friday, which is my birthday, so wish me happy birthday. It came out the next week.
Fun fact: my birthday is the next week. No, it's not, but. It was released on the 25th of September, yes, 4 days after the expected date. But to be honest, I would say historically that's a lot better than my prior performances. So I'm actually doing better. You should be supporting and encouraging me, Heavyset.
Well, can we also talk about this is the third time we've tried to record this episode?
Yes, but scheduling conflicts. Yeah, but that's mostly your fault because you had to go to Walmart. The Cleveland Browns went in the triple overtime. Carp was doing something. I don't know what he's doing, but like, this is not on me. I was ready.
Yeah, the Browns go into overtime.
Yeah.
And I was really pushing my time limit. Not to mention, they went in, they normally play on a 1 o'clock game, but this is a 4 o'clock game. So this pushes us way back.
Yeah.
And then we needed to go to Walmart to pick up some extra things. And we wanted to go before, things didn't work out. And then it came to afterwards, I was about to be like, listen, like, no, I got to get home to do this podcast. Like, we can go to Walmart tomorrow. Like, it's not like we were going for small shit. And then we were just like, I'm just like, dude, like, she wants to go to Walmart. Like, can we do another time? Can we do later? What are we doing? So it came down between Wednesday and Sunday, one week later. Wednesday, I worked late. You worked later.
Yeah.
All right.
No, I work late. You work later.
Yeah. So it was like, all right, let's just do it Sunday. And then Carp tells us earlier today, no, I'm not going to be home. So we say, fuck it.
Yeah, fuck it. Let's just do it. Because at this point, there won't be a show ever. So, yeah.
So how was your last Starbucks experience?
My last Starbucks experience? I shared my Starbucks experiences with you? I don't recall.
On Facebook?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
You throw me the biggest softball in history, and I completely swing and miss. That's great.
Good God, man.
Oh, I'm terrible. Okay. Thanks for asking, Heavyset. Yeah, it was great. I go to Starbucks, and I order my mocha, and what name, sir? And I start to make fake names. What's your name, sir? My name is Thanos. She looks at me like, so we're playing, that does look like, oh, we're playing this now, right? You know? So your name is Thanos? I'm like, yes. Okay. What's the thing? But they refused to announce, they just said the drink name. They wouldn't say Thanos. Which, if my name was legit Thanos, I'd be insulted.
Yeah. Like, I was in Pittsburgh back in 2000, I want to say 9 or 10. And I ordered from this one restaurant called, I don't know if they have them up here. There, they don't, they're down here, but there's not any in Northeast Ohio. It's called Fuddruckers.
Never heard of it, no.
It's basically like a really good burger joint where you go to a counter, you make your order, and then you go sit down, and then they'll call your name when your order's ready. So being in Pittsburgh.
So it's like a mix of table service without table service.
Yes.
Okay.
And they have like a condiment bar where like you can put almost whatever you want.
On your burger. Okay.
Yeah. It's really cool. I was just in a really good mood being in Pittsburgh, the rivals to the Cleveland Browns. I tell them my name is Go Browns.
Okay. Yeah.
The guy at the counter was like, what? I said, Go Browns. He's like, I can't do that.
He's going to get murdered. Yeah.
I'm like, wait a minute. You're Pittsburgh. Like, no one should be mad about Cleveland because, well, at that time and even a little bit now, like, you guys are better than us. Like, it shouldn't be a riot. It should be a chuckle. But I think he might have been a Steelers fan, so he might not say Go Browns. But I always want to go in there and say, like, my name was Gobe.
Rounds.
Rounds, yeah.
Yeah.
Go Browns! Go Browns! Yeah. Is there a Go Browns here? Yeah. I haven't gone back, but I would probably do that again.
But come on, like, just get in the spirit of it. Clearly, I'm trying to be funny, and I'm going to change your day here. I'm trying to make your day. Just say Thanos wants his fucking mocha. Like, why do you got to be a dick about it? Anyways, I thought it was funny.
And I feel like at a place like that, like, they're not checking your ID. Who cares?
It doesn't matter. Exactly. As long as my name's not, like, Suck My Cock 12 or whatever, it's not offensive. Nobody's going to be like, oh, you know, I saw Avengers and it triggered whatever. Like, fuck off. Like, who cares? Just say my name. I'm Thanos.
You get people there in Starbucks crying.
Yeah, imagine, like, oh, you triggered the negative memory of Spider-Man disappearing. Yeah, like, I think Charlie cried or something when Spider-Man died. I forget what it was.
I don't feel so good.
Yeah. Yes. It's like, fuck off, man. Anyways.
Yeah.
Whatever. Starbucks, you know. Maybe they forgot to mention the name. Maybe I'm overreacting here. But it's like, hey, maybe my name is Thanos and maybe I want my name called. So there you go.
As long as those comics have been around, you could have legally had your name changed to Thanos.
There you go.
Like, it's not very
possible.
It's not like, oh, because of this movie came out that you're going by Thanos. No, like, you could have been a comic book geek growing up in somewhere in like late 90s, early 2000s. You're like, you know what? I'm going to go by Thanos.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, it's not like you have these weirder names. Somebody named their kid Apple. You know what I mean? Like, you get fucking weird names. Thanos is not a weird name. Thanos is a cool name. I'm sorry.
It's kind of weird, I mean, compared to Apple. Because, like, there's no record of a Thanos prior to freaking comics. But oh, still.
Hold on. We should check the name database. Oh, I think you might be wrong.
I probably am wrong.
Yeah.
Probably comes from something very historic.
There you go.
Something like Egyptian.
I would love to see somebody with the actual name Thanos send us the, you know, don't send us the personal information on your license, but like just, you know, keep the name part. Hopefully you're not a dick in photoshopping it and it's legit. We could look you up. I'm telling you, like Thanos is a cool name for Starbucks. That's all I'm saying. And I'm being original and funny and you should go with the flow, Starbucks, and that's it. All right, let's get into the moose. We're forever changing the segment name. Let's get into the moose for this week.
I'm Bruce Nolan for Eyewitness News. Back to you, fuckers.
Let's start with a little local news. Let's get your Cinemia experience over the last couple weeks, because it has been about a month since we recorded officially. How's that service going for you? Are you liking the tickets, the amount of tickets you're getting for like the value? Is the way of ordering as good as MoviePass or easier? Are you having any issues getting movies? Like, what's going on?
It's downright fantastic. That's the only way I can really describe it. We're on our second month. We are only one movie in for right now. The thing that we're learning to have to do, because before with MoviePass, it's okay, it was unlimited movies. And even what they were starting to do, like, okay, you can only see three per month. It was like, okay, we need to pick three movies that we want to go see. And I think we've had it if there's ever I want to go see three movies and she wants to go see three different movies, it's I pick one, she picks one, and then a third one we agree on. But
do you flip a coin or something? Or no,
because it would just be like I pick one that I want to go see, she picks one she wants to go see, then we have to agree on the third one.
But what if you don't agree to the third one? What's the tiebreaker?
we haven't come to that part yet, but there, it'll probably be like one of us has to, like one of us will get to pick the third movie.
Okay,
but
and then the, for third, you trade third, for like future endeavors or something?
Something like that.
Okay.
So right now, like even for this month, we have our three picked out. One you'll hear from the review for this week, and that's Venom. The third one is already out, but we won't see it until next weekend as of this recording. So that would be A Star Is Born. And the third one is Halloween. So it's actually like we're going to go this week, next, well, we went this week, we're going to go this coming weekend, and then the weekend, which I think we're going to have a weekend in between there that we're going to go see, or maybe no, will be three in a row, I think. We'll see.
So it's kind of bringing you together as a couple, making you choose these movies as a collective unit, so to speak.
I mean,
bringing you closer together, Heavy.
I can't imagine what this would have been like earlier. It was kind of cool to have that opportunity to see whatever movie we wanted to go see. So when she's like, well, I want to go see the third 50 Shades movie. And I'm like, all right, fine. It's already part of the service. Like if it would have been with this cinema, it'd be like, okay, which, okay, you're going to see that. Well, then we're definitely going to go see this one. And we would have figured out a third one if we wouldn't have seen three in that month. But as a whole, like that's the way we've now approached movies. And it's a little bit more difficult, but a little bit more easier at the same time. Like, let me bring you back through the movie pass experience.
All right. Yep.
Back before they put up all these different things before, it was, okay, I want to go see movie A at this theater. So I check the times and just, I mean, that's a normal habit you do. But then I show up to the movie theater as soon as I can. If it's a movie that not a lot of people are going to go see, I can show up right before the movie. Or if it's a movie that it's going to fill up quick, I need to get to that theater either first thing in the day or a couple movie times before it to grab my seat. Just because I have been, or there's been a couple times we've gone to go see a movie and there's like nothing but front row available. Like first couple rows that are like right in front of the screen. And I've only done that to two movies. So I was like, fuck it. This is what we came here to see. Fine. But it's the learning experience to go, okay, if I want to avoid this, I have to get the ticket sooner. So I would arrive at the movie theater. I'd pull up the MoviePass app. I would check in that I'm at a particular movie. Well, I wanted to go see movie A at this particular showtime.
But you have to be at the theater before you do that. Yes. You cannot do that before.
It has a location. Yeah, we have to before okay.
You have to show up, right away, say, hey, I'm here, I want this movie.
It knows how far you are away from the theater.
Right, right.
Okay, you're close enough. You're definitely in the parking lot. So you check in the movie time, and it activates your card so that it puts a little bit of money on it. So you can then go in and buy your ticket.
Okay, so you have to physically go and buy the ticket.
Yes.
Okay.
You get to walk up to the box office and paperboard. Or you could technically do the kiosk services. It's the main thing.
But you still have to physically go to the cinema.
Yes.
Right. Got it.
So that is, in a way, easier and harder than the Cinemia experience, just what I'm experiencing right now. It is harder because with Cinemia, I can actually buy tickets in advance. I bought the tickets for Venom the night before.
Wow. Okay. Cool.
I didn't have to be at the movie theater. I was far away. I was actually at work, and I bought them online. Now, here's how it's harder with Cinemia. I've come to find out, I talked about this, I paid for the cardless feature, and that activates my service, and I can start using it now with this particular cardless feature. So I want tickets for, let's say, I'll use Venom, for example. I go on to whatever movie theater I'm going to, which I use Cinemark. It's pretty much the main theater I go to. I'm a part of Cinemark's movie.
And sorry, club. But you can go to any cinema with this Cinemia thing, right? You're not limited to a type of theater.
You're not, but the thing is if there's a service fee for the movie ticket you're buying,
yeah,
you have to pay for that.
But if you're going to, okay, if you're saying if you're buying online.
Yeah, if you're buying online, right. If there's a service fee, I don't have any experience with the card feature because last I look, it takes about 2 months. To get a card.
Okay, got it. So,
I'm giving them till probably like November, December before I say something. But right now, I can still use the service. But like I said, I'm at work or wherever. I open up my Cinemark app because that's the one I use. And it's because I'm part of their movie club. I don't pay that service fee. So that benefits.
Okay, so it works.
That benefits me with their service. So I pick what seats I want through the app, like a normal ticket buying experience. And then before I go to pay for it, I highlight enter new card information. I switch over to the Cinemia app. If I got this right, because I've only done it a couple times. It's there's a lot of steps, but it's basically I pick through their service. I tell them, okay, the movie tickets I got are going to be for this date, this day, this time, this feature. Because fun fact, I've seen Venom in 3D with this service. I could see 2D, 3D, or
okay.
XD.
Okay.
And then I pick how many number of tickets I go see. Now, they're actually really picky. I've tried to just pick one time, and they're like, oh, no. You have a two-ticket service. You need to buy two. So I'm just like, all right, fine.
Okay, yeah.
I was like, all right, fine. Like, it's no big deal. I was buying two anyway. So I hit two, and then I hit pay for through on their service. And what they do is they generate to me a card number, an expiration date, and the three-digit card would be a three-digit number on the back.
So it's like a credit card. They issue a one-time-use credit card.
Kind of, yes.
Okay, got it.
Then I put in the zip code that they want, which I believe they are in Australia. I got to double check the one they give me because I think it's always the same zip code. And then put that into the one time, go back to the Cinemark app, put in all that information, hit pay for, boom. The added step that you have to do, because basically Cinemark's already given me my ticket, give me like a QR code. Then they've probably been charged already. Cinemia has. But as soon as I get to the theater, it needs to be soon as I get there. I can't forget this step, and I have to check in. And that's it.
Okay. If you don't check in, they charge you, or how does that work?
Supposedly they do.
Okay.
But of the three movie tickets I paid for, two out of three of them for the first month, I bought in the parking lot of the movie.
Okay.
So, and I think they might have given me a little bit of leeway, like, eh, it's your first month.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
that's well, nice. Like, if this continues to be a habit, well, it'll be an issue.
Yeah,
The third movie, which will be one of the reviews that I did, it's the third movie I seen last month. I forgot to check in when I got there, and then I used my tickets, and then I went to go check in. We were sitting in our seats, and it gave me kind of an error screen. But I'm like, well, I checked in. I'm here. Like, there shouldn't be an issue, but I haven't heard anything.
Okay,
so everything seems to be going fine. So it's a little bit more complicated, but there's a bit more convenience to it too.
So you don't have to be at the fucking theater, but you got to go through this bit of a rigmarole to get some like temporary credit card number to order a ticket. And so,
that's on the cardless feature.
Right.
When I actually get my card, I think I can use the same information and I can technically use it like MoviePass. I can go, hey, I want to go see this movie.
Right.
I'm checking in. I can walk up to a box office, swipe the card, pick the seats and go.
Okay. So you get a full-time card number. They'll just credit that card with the amount once you tell it what movie you're going to. Okay, so at the end of the day, sounds like you're happy with the experience. I mean, you get a little bit of a rigmarole getting those tickets for now. But apart from that, sounds like you're going to stay on board. And if so, what would you like to see them fix short term for you?
As of right now, I don't have much, especially because I haven't got to experience the full benefit of having a card, because that'll cut a little bit of the bullshit out. But I'm paying $30 a month, technically close to 40 because I have Cinemark's Movie Club. But those tickets, because that's one thing that I have to repeat. Yeah, I get three tickets a month for Cinemia, but I'm getting one ticket per month from Cinemark's Movie Club, and that rolls over. I screwed up on the first month
right.
And accidentally used it, which I don't think I talked about this. I accidentally used it on one of the Cinemia purchases.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
Yeah. So basically, I paid for two tickets on Cinemia, and I gave them a discounted price. So congrats, guys. I fucked myself over, and you don't have to pay as much. Thank you.
There you go.
But completely my fault. So what I've learned I have to do every time I go buy a ticket, I need to deselect use one of my Movie Club tickets.
And when so or what you do – no, but it wouldn't make sense.
It would be a last – case scenario, or let's say we want to go see two movies in one day. Cinemia is actually hardcore on no, you can only see three movies in a month, but you're only allowed one in a day. So, which kind of sucks, but right. I was like, fine, like it's not huge deal. And if I do want to go see two in a day, those Cinemark tickets are going to add up because on average, I see about three a month. it'll actually be kind of cool. Let's say, and I think it's what it's going to be really big for come summertime next year.
Yeah, Marvel. All those Marvel movies, for sure.
Marvel movies, summer blockbusters. I'll see where we are in November, December, too, because there's a lot of care. Come to our movie theater in the nice, warm theater and watch these movies,
right.
Especially for, you know, in the United States for the real Thanksgiving in November. And then
go fuck yourself.
And then there's Christmas, too. I think it's a bigger thing.
Yeah, but you're not on the same Christmas as us.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, no, you're not. No, we're in early December. No, I'm just fucking with you.
I was like, dude, there's no, like, it's a religious holiday. Not a country holiday.
Like, I'll see if I can get you.
No, I'm not. Anyway, it will be interesting to see where I am come that time. Because I do think there are going to be times that we're just like, oh, fuck it. Let's go see a fourth movie this month.
Yeah.
And let's use these extra tickets. Or even we could technically give them to friends. Like I could pay for tickets for people and give them to people I know. Something that we could do too is, let's say I want to go out like on a double date with friends, like me and Amanda do, where it's like, oh, hey, like, don't worry about your tickets.
Yeah, we got it.
Well, like, you know, we have through our service, and I'll just add your guys' on too. It's going to be no big deal.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a nice beneficial thing. Like, for example, when you guys came down and we watched The Disaster Artist,
yeah.
We would have had Movie Pass, which I think it started like right around that time, maybe a couple months before. We could have taken some rollover tickets, paid for yours, and like it wouldn't have been a big deal. And the cool thing too that I do love about the Cinemark Movie Club is the fact that I get additional bonuses. The fact that I am a club member.
Yeah.
You know, like I've said before, I don't have to pay the service fees when I buy online.
That's cool.
I also get a discounted rate for tickets.
What's the service fees if you did have to pay? Because that's the one good thing about Cineplex here. Because we don't have anything like you guys have. There's no kind of movie club or anything like that. There's no even that Cinemark thing. But the one good thing, I guess, is we never have to pay fees.
And you guys get free healthcare.
Oh, yeah. And free healthcare. Yeah. That thing. That too. Yeah.
For example, I'll try to buy a ticket just through their service. Like, I'll act like I'm buying one. Oh, I'm going to go see the 10-10 showing of Star Is Born. I don't know why I'm picking three tickets, but okay.
I'm guessing it's $1 or $1.50 per ticket or something.
Let me see. Yes, it is $1.50 per ticket. That is waived.
I guess that's the standard, I guess, in the States, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I was just curious. So overall, you're liking it?
Yeah. Overall, I'm really liking it. I believe I will be keeping it. The only thing that does suck is we went from paying together $20 a month now to $40. But the fact that they also give me like a 20% discount, or maybe it's a 10% discount on concessions, and we're always getting something. So does it come out like even? No, but I don't know. Also, to the fact that I can go see a 3D movie if I want. I like seeing 3D movies from time to time. I'm very childish of loving the gimmick. I think it's cool to watch movies all the time. Like, I used to see them all the time like that, but now I'm like, okay, like maybe I'll, like I don't need to see this movie in 3D. But now, before this, the last 3D movie I seen was Infinity War, and I couldn't tell you the one before that. The only one that I wish I would have seen in 3D was Coco. I think it would have looked amazing in 3D.
Keep us up to date on that. Next news story. Want to talk about this specifically, but it's going to tap into a more broader subject. And Screen Rant discusses the new set photos for the Joker movie with Joaquin Phoenix as Joker. And they're talking about how it's going to go more on how the Joker attacks kind of the 1% of the extremely wealthy. There's still very little info on production notes and, you know, like who's going to be in it and exactly all that stuff. But the broad subject is now it seems like they're going towards supervillains, specifically having them headline in their own movie and being kind of gray area where they're not heroes, they're not villains or whatever, maybe anti-heroes. And now it's Joker. They just recently did Venom. It makes sense because it's a market or a niche they haven't tapped in. And, you know, they're exploiting all this comic book stuff as much as they can. So what supervillain project solo film would you like to see coming out?
Thanos. Boom.
Right. Okay.
I mean,
I knew you were going to go there, but yeah.
They could have made a Thanos solo movie where we talk about maybe how he got the Power Stone, how he got the Infinity Gauntlet, how, what was the timeline of where you went to that one planet to get the Infinity Gauntlet made, and then you put it in a vault. There's a lot of stuff of his storyline that it would be cool to see in a movie, find out more about his relationships. I mean, granted, but it'd be like prior to everything that happened with Gamora and Nebula and all of his children. The children of Thanos have been one of my favorite parts, minus Thanos, of all the MCU movies, because Nebula and Gamora, like, they were so much fun. I think
right.
Nebula especially, she shined a lot more in that second Guardians movie. And I think that's looked over by a lot of people. I'm trying to think who else. Maybe a good Harvey Dent movie.
Okay.
Give me the whole story on Two-Face. I think Christopher Nolan did an amazing job, but the track record outside of that, I mean, there's nothing. There's what they plan on doing in the original Schumacher movies and the Burton movies, but literally Billy Dee was Harvey Dent in Batman Returns, and he's obviously black. So, and then Tommy Lee Jones is Two-Face in Batman Forever. There was no consistency.
Right. That's true.
Those are the top two that I could think of that I would really, really love to see. But I think the fact that we are getting a Joker one and we just got the Venom one, that's like two of your best villains, like of all of comic books that have a huge history. Even before the really shitty Spider-Man 3, a lot of people knew who Venom was. Like, I've never been a comic book person. I knew who the fuck Venom was. Didn't know his story, but I knew his look, and he looked so fucking cool.
Yeah. You know what they should do? They should do a cat... Well, no, wait. No, that's already done. No. Joker, I mean, what do you think about Penguin having him do a solo? Could he carry?
I don't know if he could carry. I feel like there's not as much with Penguin. I feel like we've seen it all in Batman Returns.
Right. Okay. Interesting.
They actually did a really good job for back then.
What about Magneto solo?
Oh, that would be really good. He wouldn't need a background story. He would just need his own story within the X universe. But hey, well, when you think about it, that could be getting a nice reboot again.
How about the Oswalds, Green Goblin?
Well, I don't know about that one.
No.
I do know also, which I don't know whether you've seen it, supposedly they are working on another
Spider-Man
villain movie.
Okay.
Like, it's not along the lines of Venom, because they do leave it open for a sequel.
The Goblin?
All of that line. Huh?
The Goblin's going to be in it?
You told me before we recorded you don't want spoilers.
Oh, yeah. No spoilers.
But the not connected that I know of is supposedly they might start working on a Doc Ock movie.
Okay.
And supposedly Dr. Octavius is going to be played by none other than Jason Alexander.
What?
That's something I don't know if I see on Twitter that could be fake.
Yeah, it's got to be fake.
I don't know.
What about Paul Giamatti as Doc Ock?
I don't know.
Okay. Let's switch things a little bit. Mystique movie.
I feel like she would be a part of the Magneto movie, so I don't know whether that...
Right, like, okay. How about Loki?
He would do amazing, probably.
Yeah. Would you go see a Loki movie?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Kingpin?
That's, I think, one I'm waiting for them to make.
Okay. I guess the only last one, Doctor Doom?
Yeah, I think if he gets reintroduced in the MCU, then... They just need to do a better job.
Yeah, right. It would have to be a complete reboot.
I don't even think they have to introduce him with the Fantastic Four. Introduce him in the universe. Maybe sprinkle him in like you did Thanos.
Okay, yeah. Oh, sorry, one more. Red Skull.
I would like it, but I'm a huge...
Do you think it was already fleshed out too much in the Captain America movie?
Yeah, pretty much.
If you guys have any supervillain movie ideas, let us know. Old school at the movies, hashtag OSATM. Let's get into our movie reviews of the week. Have you said any objection if I give my movie review of Searching.
No.
I know you discussed it in depth, but I saw it last week and really enjoyed it, and I'd like to give my thoughts on it, and you can interject at any time, too. If you agree or disagree on any of my points, my early rating here is 4.5 out of 5. I summarize it by a modern-day mystery with a technological twist. John Cho has one of the greatest performances I've ever seen him in, obviously. It's the only real serious role, apart from Star Trek, that I've seen him in or that I recall seeing him in. And he stepped up. And what I also liked about it, I don't know if I discussed this with you. It might have been Phil from All Baron's Side. But unlike a Crazy Rich Asians, right, which focuses on the fact, just focuses on the fact that they're Asian. And that becomes a selling point of the movie. These characters, the main cast, just happens to be an Asian family. But it could be any family. It could be black, white, whatever. It wasn't so, it was cool to see an all-Asian cast that wasn't, the selling point of the movie wasn't just that it was an all-Asian cast. So I think that's progressive. And I thought that was worth mentioning. I think a lot of people who go to see this would really enjoy it. One, because the writing's fantastic. I love the intricacies, like the attention to detail I found was phenomenal. I'll give an example heavy, the Norton icon on the XP computer, you know what I mean? Just like little YouTube comments that actually discuss parts of the movie, not spoilers, but like if you were to read the comments, you'd be like, oh, it makes you think, oh yeah, maybe, you know, this thing's going to happen or whatever.
In one of the comment sections, what I forget, might have been like obviously a YouTube post. Someone said like, oh, like they compared it to Gone Girl. And I was like, ah, because that was the feeling I was getting in the movie.
Yeah, so I'm
like,
that's kind of cool. Yeah. You know, and they really hash out like modern day technology compared to, I think Phil used this as an example. Have you ever seen the movie The Net with Sandra Bullock?
I don't think since I was little.
So okay, yeah. It's been a while, but like any modern day hacker media, like social media or computer type movie, some guy will just like type three things into a keyboard and magically pop up all the information they have. They're superimposed, zoom this, that. And it's just like an unrealistic view of what technology can do. This one uses the modern day technology and explains it exactly what could happen. Like this was a bit far-fetched, but it's a movie, but it's possible. Like this thing could actually have actually happened. And you see in depth like what he does to actually search and do that. And you like this modern take on using technology to get to the end goal of finding his daughter. It, like interactive and just very cool and different. The fact that it's different stood out for me. Like what other movie that was focused on technology that you can recall that came out recently? The only one I could really think of is maybe The Social Network, where you see them typing in like PHP code and stuff like that. Like that was kind of cool, but it didn't go in depth like this one did. So as a geek, I really enjoyed that. I thought it was cool.
Well, even the opening of the movie, which I did describe as very much of a up type feeling, but the fact that they progress through, you know, 15, 16 years of technology, you know, one screen at a time to where, they were starting out on like an older Windows computer and got all the way up to the modern age. And then when they went back to that computer and like how many pop-ups or something that came up or even
that's true.
Whatever the scene was where there's a bunch of pop-ups and I was like, it gives you that technology nostalgia of like everything they fucking went through. And even like the quality for some of those movies were lower. They obviously weren't like, yeah, we actually got a really shitty camera to record it, but they try to put the bit rate as small as some of those were. So I'm like, you know what? I know it isn't, but they're trying to give you that illusion. So they're putting forth the effort. I'm like, oh, here's a super HD movie that was taken back in, you know, the early 2000s. No, they actually made you feel some of it was old.
Yeah, they tried to make it a little more realistic, which was cool. The story itself, I thought, was fantastic. I don't know how much of like that you caught, the little breadcrumbs left throughout the story, but like I missed a bunch of stuff. Phil picked up on stuff. Charlie picked up on some stuff. And what was kind of cool too, side note, she didn't talk during this movie. So it's almost like you just have to get her, bring her to a really good movie so she shuts up and not doesn't talk during the movie. Because she said nothing. She got into it and she pointed out like, oh yeah, I knew about this or whatever. But she wouldn't sit there and talk throughout the movie. So the key, if you go to a movie with Charlie for her future, I guess, friends or boyfriends or whatever, make sure you take her to a good movie. Then she won't talk. Don't take her to a shitty movie. Bobbidi Boobidi. Bobbidi Boobidi, yeah, exactly. But yeah, I loved – so I don't know how many of these breadcrumbs you caught. But like, you know, there's some points after the fact that we found out about – and I don't want to spoil too much because I really want people to go see this. And if you spoil a plot, you ruin the movie. It's like Sixth Sense, you know? But
that's why I think everything that I said, I didn't spoil anything.
Yeah, no, you didn't. You didn't.
I told you about the opening. And it's just like a warning that I kind of threw out there. But I'm like, it doesn't take away anything from the movie.
No, I agree. But did I don't know how many of the breadcrumbs you caught later on. Or like, did you catch a lot in the during when it happened? Or you're like, oh, shit, I missed this.
I think there were certain things I picked up on. But what they were leading towards. Because I didn't believe... I don't want to get into it. Like, I didn't believe the premise that they were originally telling you. Like, everything didn't add up, especially the thing that I kind of caught was with the girl that was always talking to her online. I'm like, to me, I'm like, there's something there. Even before they said anything, I'm like, that was the first person that I noticed in every single video. But the connection to it finally made a lot more sense. And the funny thing is, I know when they actually give you a reveal of... trying not to give spoilers, but like the traffic cam footage of the car.
Right, right, yeah.
I was always looking at the wrong car. So when they showed me, I was like, oh, I was looking at the one I wasn't supposed to. So, okay.
So there you go. I also like how they point out the darkness of human culture and their social media, hypocritical students, to the horrible comments on YouTube about the disappearance, to like Reddit conspiracies. You know, it's something that a lot of people complain about, the dark side of the internet. And it's cool that they fleshed that out. I thought that was refreshing. I was also surprised at how good it was. Like, I was not – even after your review, I was like, okay, I was going to go see it. But I was shocked at how good this was. I just – like, it was this fresh, modern take on a whodunit. I don't know if you necessarily need to see it in a theater, but I still recommend you go see it while it's in theaters. Like, if you're a family of four and you don't want to spend like $60 going to see a movie, I get it. But if you got a night out, you got some movie passes, or you're looking for a movie to go see, and this is not on your radar, this should be on your radar. Tugs on the heartstrings, like Heavy says, especially at the beginning. A lot of plot twists and suspense. And I found myself like incredibly invested in the whole thing. So I give it a 4.5.
Oh, you changed. You were lower.
I was?
I thought you were. I gave it a 4. Like, I thought when you posted on Facebook, or maybe I'm thinking something else.
No, you thought I gave Mr. Rogers too low.
Okay, maybe that's why I'm thinking.
I gave it a 3.5, yeah. Yeah, no, this one was a 4.5. So, yeah, I know this is unfortunately like a re-review. Heavy did it last week, but I really wanted to touch base on it because it's probably my favorite movie of the year so far. And not in terms of like... build up storyline or whatever, because obviously Infinity War. But to me, it was like I haven't seen a movie like unique movie like this since Ex Machina, and I loved Ex Machina. So yeah, go check it out. Heavyset has two new movies to review this week, and I'm going to try the next episode to not do like a re-review. I'm going to actually see something unique, so we'll have something unique to review. The first one, let's talk about Venom, because I think that's the most most on people's radar just due to the heavy success of it.
Venom last. I want to get the first one.
Okay.
Because it makes sense for Venom to be last. It would be the main event of reviews. Because you have Searching, which everybody's already heard of.
Yeah.
That maybe they've already seen, but it is cool to always get someone else's opinion on it.
Yeah.
Venom being the main event, so you have to have that buffer match in the middle, and that is a perfect spot for Night School.
All right, so we get our women's match. Go ahead, Heavyset.
This isn't a movie that you need to run out and see. That's one thing I will say. My rating out front is a 3-star. Now, the reason why I'm giving it a 3, I want to give it more of a 2 to 2.5. I think 2.5 is where I'm at. I'm like, it's the middle of the road. It's not horrible. I found a couple editing errors that there's just times where someone's talking and they show you like the back of their head or the side of their face. And it's like, it doesn't necessarily match up. And maybe from cut to cut of the scene, like it's not 100% adding up. There are a couple other things that I noticed. I'm just like, yeah, like maybe it's not that great. But Tiffany Haddish is great. I think she's building herself up to be a much bigger star. She is very comparable to a guy like Kevin Hart. So having them in the in a movie together where she kind of out Kevin Hart's Kevin Hart in this movie.
Okay, wow.
A little bit. Kevin Hart, his character is obviously him being the main character, but he goes through a, I want to say, a basic movie issue that you might run into where it comes out to, without any real spoilers, it's just be yourself. Don't hide behind anything. Anybody who loves you will love you for who you are. Kind of a very Mr. Rogers type thing. Nothing like I said, you need to run out and see. But the reason why I bump it up from a 2.5 to a 3 is the fact of, in this movie, he is going to get his GED and he's kind of embarrassed about it. And I am not afraid to admit I had to get my GED back in 2013. I graduated, quote unquote, in 2005. So I went 8 years without a GED. And it was one of the hardest things getting into a new relationship after high school, because I would have to bring that up. And there was like two girls that I dated that were college students. So just to be like, oh yeah, I never really graduated from high school was kind of something that I was embarrassed by. And there's the part of me that extra half a star goes towards that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because I'm like, you know what? I've been through that. I know what it feels like. We didn't have the exact same story, but to go through all that and to kind of feel like an idiot about yourself, even though you're, you know, just a smart, like he made his living in the movie without being a high school graduate, but something happens that changes that. So he has to go back to night school, or he has to go back to school. So he does night school. So that's what really spoke to me. I'm like, I would probably rate this on my whole scale of, you know, this is a nice movie you might sit down and watch at home, maybe a Netflix, maybe a Redbox, worth checking out on that aspect.
Awesome. And now the main event, heavy set. The movie that grossed $80 million over the weekend, heavy set. Venom. Here we go.
Do we have a weekend box office estimate for this week?
80.
I meant like ratings-wise. Like who did what?
Oh, like total? Like each movie?
Like, yeah, I'm actually pulling it up. Yep, Venom number one.
Yeah, it doubled A Star Is Born. It doubled it.
Okay, now I'm going to throw this stuff out there.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm going to go see A Star Is Born next week. And I was curious of how well this was received by people, because I'd seen the previews for A Star Is Born. I'm like, I like this. I like Lady Gaga. I think as an artist, she's amazing. And her transition into acting I'm curious by it. I didn't watch any of the horror show, American Horror Story that she did. She one season she did. But I was like, man, this is a music movie. She has a fantastic voice. This is going to be something to see. And then I found out that it was coming out the same week as Venom. And I'm like, oh, shit. I don't know. Like, this is going to be good.
Yeah. Have you ever, couldn't you do like a Friday, Saturday, or do you limit yourself to one a week?
I'll get to a quick reason here in a moment of why we've seen Venom first. Part of it was like, well, it's a comic book movie. I want to get it out of the way. But there's actually another reason behind it. I was curious of how these were due. So I went on my Facebook, and if you're friends with me on Facebook, I do polls. And sometimes it's to get rid of the stupid shit and the political shit that is on Facebook and just being totally negative. And I just tried to take topics and I want to get people's opinion. Just like, okay, where do you stand on this? So I asked two separate polls. I'm like, do you plan on seeing A Star Is Born and do you plan on seeing Venom? And I mean, there was a handful of people that voted yes to both, handful of people that voted no to both. But there was more no's for A Star Is Born than yes. And there was more yeses for Venom than no's. So it seemed to be like, well, if people were going to go see the movie, and I didn't even say this week, I just said, do you plan on seeing? So that's how I think it's going to plan out between the two. And I was just curious. So yeah, it makes sense. Venom won. And I think it's going to be the comic book stuff behind it. There's a little bit more familiarity with the Venom character because of Spider-Man 3. And obviously with just how long Venom's been a pretty big character. Star Is Born. Another reason why I'm waiting for a week is because going into this weekend, a lot of my extra time was used to catch up on Doctor Who. Something that I've been I was literally a fucking year behind on a year plus. Finally, just busted every episode out that was on Amazon. And I mean, as of this recording, I'm now one episode behind because it came out today. But anyway, the reason why I mention that is because this coming week, any of my extra time is going to be used to watch all three previous versions of A Star is Born. When people out there say that Hollywood today has no creativity, they're always doing remakes. The original A Star Was Born was made in the 30s. It was remade in the 50s and remade in the 70s. So this is an old concept. Now, granted, they all are going to have their own stories, and they'll probably be a little bit different here and there. There's no really big names in the original. The lead female in the first remake was Judy Garland from Wizard of Oz. Judy Garland, yeah. And then in the 70s, the main were played by Kris Kristofferson, the male.
Right.
And obviously the female was Barbara Streisand. So that is a very, very big movie. And I was kind of waiting for someone to be like, oh, can't believe they're making remaking the Barbara Streisand movie. I'd be like, oh, because the Barbara Streisand was a remake, a second remake at that.
Yeah.
So surprisingly, I think not many people knew about it. So I bought the Garland and Streisand versions.
Okay.
So I'm going to be able to watch those. And the original version is on Amazon Prime. I'm going to watch all three versions to see how they differ. There's going to be a skeleton thing and something that's going to connect them all. But it's going to be how they change aspects of the movies. And I'm curious to see how they all differ, especially with the original being made in, of all times, the 30s.
Yeah. So you're going to go back to the 30s one and watch them. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and you've done that for previous movies too, and you've got me kind of doing that, especially the Marvel stuff you prepare. I know you were preparing before you went to go see the Infinity War.
And I'm not doing that this year. I'm not doing that this year.
Yeah. Well, like for me, like I rewatched Equalizer because my girlfriend hadn't seen the first one, so I'm like, hey, I'm going to revisit it because I enjoyed it, and it got me ready for Equalizer 2. And I mean, yeah, I guess I would. It'd be interesting to see this, even a movie from the 30s. Like, I mean, the oldest movie I've seen, maybe it's A Wonderful Life, you know? So, yeah, it's like this old school movie. And this movie is also definitely on my radar. I want to check it out. I'm a closet Lady Gaga fan as well. Well, now everybody knows. But I'm a fan of her music, so Bradley Cooper's always cool.
I think the oldest movie that I own, I won't say that I've seen because there's probably older ones I have seen, but actually owning them, I think, is a step up. And if you know me well enough, I do own the 1932 version of Scarface.
Well, there you go. Cool. Awesome. Venom, heavy set. Let's get your review.
Let's get into Venom. The only way I can describe this movie is it's not nearly as good as most of the MCU movies, but I feel like it's better than the DCEU movies, hands down. And some of the reviews I've heard, I think, compares it to like some of the original Spider-Man movies, like the feeling of it, which you'd figure is a compliment, but they're trying to insult it, like, of look how far we've gone, but you're kind of taking it back to before all that. But
do you think that's a fault of Sony's? Because Sony made this, right? It wasn't a Disney property.
No, I look at it as it's actually has to do more with rose-colored goggles. Because Iron Man's great, but what is it that made it great? It still kind of followed a traditional storyline that you kind of see. Like, they kind of did their own version of it, but it's kind of the same thing. But he had the advantage of being out in a desert, so they're going to tell you a different story than they would with someone who's going to be in the middle of the city, like Spider-Man, like Venom. The cool thing is, and I think they purposely did this, which on a side note, I think Sony is trying to build up their movie villains to create their own universe, which I think I did look up. I think that Jason Alexander thing is wrong. So if anybody tried to tweet me, yes, I think I understand that is wrong. Right. I read it from, I thought someone who was comparable, and the way they put it sounded like it was true, but I realized there was no link to it. So that was my bad. And it kind of didn't make sense. And I would want them to put on a Doc Ock movie. So we do have this movie, and they leave it open for a post-credit scene. Actually, there's two post-credit scenes. One that is telling you where they're going to go next. Even the last word of that scene is a direct name drop. And then the other actual post-credit scene is from the upcoming Spider Enter the Multiverse, I think it's called. It's like an animated movie that's coming out. It was basically their teaser for the movie. Like, hey, we got this too. Like, come out and watch it. So I get that. But you have Eddie Brock, and this all takes place in San Francisco on the other side of the continent. They make some references to New York, and I'm like, yeah, I know why you're doing San Francisco, because you don't want that to be in the same universe just yet. Oh, because what I was actually going back to say, I'm really bad at jumping around like that. I think that they're trying to build up the villains to maybe kind of be like, either, hey, Disney, we got a good thing going here too. Do you want to work with us with these characters and put them in your multi-million dollar movies? Or it's going to be, you know what? Thank you for building up our Spider-Man. We're going to take him back and we're going to have him play with our villains that we've built up and people are going to see. So they're in a win-win situation as long as this continues to build. I gave Venom a 3 to 3.5 out of 5. Because like I said, I think it's better than the DCEU movies, but most of the Marvel movies, I think, it kind of falls short. But it's the first one, and it's building. They add some really cool comedy to the movie, but with the kind of character that Venom is, it would have been better as an R. But they still play with it. There's at one point, Venom calls Eddie Brock a pussy, and it's fucking hilarious. They could have really turned it up with their interactions, especially any time that Venom is talking to Eddie, where you don't actually see Venom, to me is one of the favorite parts. Like, there's a part he's sitting on a trolley, and and this is like really early on in the whole Venom being inside Eddie Brock, and he just goes, "Hungry." And Eddie's like I said, sitting on the trolley. He hears that, and he like jolts up, like what the fuck?
Yeah.
So that's... That was definitely one of the parts I really liked too. But the lead actress in this movie, I'm going to try to pull it up. My exact reaction about her is I felt like she is a dollar store version of Gwyneth Paltrow. And that would be Michelle Williams.
Okay.
Yeah. In this movie, maybe it's how she looks. She just looks like the dollar store version of Gwyneth Paltrow.
Right.
I thought the villain was... okay, I don't understand as much about all the Venom characters, the symbiotes. Yeah, that's... I'm trying to like explain it without any real big spoilers. I think this is a good place for them to start. It does semi-remind me of Iron Man.
We have to, and this is my bad, but I got to start... like, maybe send me a message of like when you're going to watch or what weekend you're going to watch bigger movies to make sure I get in that movie too, just so we can discuss it more. Because I find that you might be right when you said, you know, like a lot of people want to actually hear our in-depth analysis on stuff. And I find if I'm missing a movie and you're missing a movie, we're not getting that. So, yeah, I'm...
think it's one thing if you don't want to spoil somebody.
Yeah.
Like, I'll go see next week A Star Is Born. I could spoil that fucking movie from you. You wouldn't care.
Yeah, it's true.
But a movie like Venom or the three movies, because like I said, we are now planning ahead, and our movies for this month are Venom, A Star Is Born, and Halloween. Like, that's already in like our plan. So you won't want to know about Star Is Born, but if I see Halloween before you and I want to talk about it,
yeah, I'd be like, whatever. For some
odd reason, doing lately. Then you'd be like, well, you know, like, I think if we stick to some of the bigger movies, that would be a good thing going forward. We know where we all are going and all this kind of stuff, like, especially now, I already have my three picked out. If you happen to be going to a movie that I'm not going to go see, then fine, so be it.
Yeah.
Like, you're probably not going to want to, or you might not go see Wreck-It Ralph. I'm a huge fan of the first movie, so I'm probably going to go see the first. Actually, the second movie, it's going to come out like a Thanksgiving. And my new tradition is trying to go see a movie every Thanksgiving. So, fuck it. I'm going.
Cool, man. Awesome. All right. Thank you very much for that review. We're going to end this show now. The only tweet we got was from Charlie wishing me happy birthday. So, thank you very much, Charlie. Apart from that...
Hi!
Hi! What are you looking for? Well, we know the three movies on your list. Let me tell you the movies I want to check out. Let's get your thoughts on those movies. I want to check out First Man. That looks pretty cool. I know. I mean, we know the the main concept of the story of the first men to walk on the moon, but it seems to be like the reimagining of it with, you know, Universal and, dare I say, Ryan Gosling looking actually to do a decent job as Buzz Aldrin. I think he plays Buzz Aldrin. And just, you see more like, I don't know, like there's tension between like NASA and then the families and this and that. So, you know, you make Hollywood 2018, put a little twist on it, make it cool and throw it on the big screen. I don't know. Like, it's First Man is going to be on my list this month. Halloween is not, because I'm not really a Halloween or a horror fan.
I don't like horror movies per se. Like, I wouldn't have gone out and seen The Nun if Amanda didn't want to go see it.
Right.
But a movie like Halloween, that's like one of your bigger, I don't want to say trilogy, that's the wrong one. One of your bigger movie Halloween movie franchises, no pun intended. That Friday the 13th, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street, something like that. If they come out with another movie, I'm like, yeah, I'll go see it.
I think my other movie will be Hunter Killer. This is going to come out on the 26th. It's a wide release, starring Gerald Butler, Gary Oldman, Common. It's like a modern take on like a Russian-U.S. Possible Third World War. He plays a submarine guy, and I'm a big fan of Gerald Butler, I guess. So it seems like a fun action movie to check out in the theaters. With this, I mean, obviously it's not going to be in your top three, but would you maybe cash in your Cinemark money in the bank there for a Gerald Butler sub movie?
Nope. Basically, I have a top five movies of the month that I have for this particular month, and we already know the top three because that's what we're going to go see. Number four would be just right outside, and if it wasn't for Venom and A Star Is Born coming out the same week, I will go out and see what I think you're about to mention, Bad Times at the El Royale. That's number four.
Right.
Number five would be First Man.
Yeah, Bedtimes at the El Royale it's kind of either on a Tuesday or I don't know if I'd wait for this to come into the home market, but I could be convinced to go see it. Like if I had a group of friends who was like, we're going to go see it, come on, I would probably go. But if I'm saying for me going my top three, and I kind of like this to have a segment, a monthly top three or, you know, top five, and then the three we'll go see, it would be, I guess, as of right now, would be Star Is Born, First Man, and Hunter Killer. And shout out to Bad Times at the El Royale and possibly Johnny English Strikes Again. I don't know. But
really?
I like Bean. I like Mr. Bean. I know. I don't know. I have a bit of nostalgia with him because he used to be on Canadian Channel all the time, and they used to run BBC stuff. So, yeah. There's something with Mr. Bean, whatever reason. I can't tell you why. All right, plugs, final thoughts, heavy set. What do you got on your radar right now?
You know, Wrestling Cheers is the main really focus right now. As of this recording, I got an episode to record this week, and I think that'll probably be on already. I'm really working on tying up everything for this year. I have one episode to fill, which is something I'm kind of proud of, that I have episodes planned till the end of the year, minus one. Other ones, obviously, AIW does stuff, and I plan previews and reviews around that, but I know when all their gaps are, and I've already have all them but 1 week filled up with an interview. So that's something I'm really looking forward to, especially in the month of December. Not going to let the cat out of the bag of what I got planned there.
Do you have to really plan in advance to get these names, interviews with these guys, or?
Well, like, for example, like the past 2 weeks, I did, you know, interviews. The thing that I would like that I can do is, brand both wrestlers are somewhat local. They're not entirely huge names. One got a WWE tryout. The other one, I don't know if he's really along those lines, but he's more of a local Ohio guy. But I try to do it so I can give people a podcast. I know there's roughly 100 to 200 people that, you know, download the show regularly. And I'm always proud that, you know, when I get almost consistent 100s, and then the fact that I do have now, I think one episode might be over 200 or really close to, I got to double check, but hugely, hugely proud of that. But I'm always make sure every Thursday, right around midnight, you can go to your phone, or of course at midnight Eastern, that you can go to your phone and refresh it, and boom, Wrestling Cheers, a new episode is going to be waiting for you. Granted, we post on the Trending Topics Network on Friday, because I want to give people like that exclusive
yeah,
chance to check it on the Wrestling Cheers feed.
Yeah.
like, granted, like, there's like probably like a couple people that listen to it on the Train Topics Network feed, so it's not a huge, huge deal. But like, I know some of the interviews I have planned. It's cool to get people ahead of time, because if I have to do the last minute, and I would really like to do a lot of my interviews face to face now because I have the technology, and oh, there's something that I wanted to share on this podcast. This would be the first time I publicly talk about it besides Facebook. And I really wanted to do the episode last week because this is when I found out the news. And last Sunday, as of this recording, it was podcast day. And I thought that would be really cool to, you know, record a podcast on podcast day, especially this one.
Yeah.
I'm given the opportunity, and I'm really curious to see how this will go. I'm going to be a part of a new podcast starting up. A friend of mine's has a local business, and he runs a, like, I want to call it a geek card shop or a nerd card shop. Basically, you know, like your Magic and all the other similar games like that. Like, I don't know a lot of them. Magic is the number one that I know. And he basically runs a shop like that. And he's really wants to start a podcast for it to help get out word for it and all this kind of stuff. And he put a notice online, ironically enough, the same night that I met Kiwi Tuts. But I'd seen this ad, this not ad, but this, he was like, hey, like, who knows stuff about, you know, editing and everything, because I got this project that I want to do, podcast project that I want to do. And I, like I said, I hit him up last Sunday. He had me come over to his business. We hung out. We talked a little bit, just kind of like catching up, because I hadn't seen him in a while. And basically he picked my brain on what to do for podcast, you know, whether it be services or equipment and everything that I know and what would be good for him and all that kind of stuff. And I think in November, I'm going to be the editor or post producer for whatever the exact label it is. I am going to be handling the post-production of this podcast, and I'm going to get paid for it.
Nice.
That's something I am really looking forward to. And I already have my first thing planned out. I'm going to do with that money. I'm going to build up at least half of it, and I'm going to go buy myself an H6 Zoom recorder.
Dude, I'm super happy for you. Congrats, man. That's awesome to get paid for it. Like, all of us fuck around, you know, and do it for fun. But to actually get paid for doing post-editing, imagine just starting. And this all started with you calling me out on a wrestling podcast. How cool is that?
Like I said, that's kind of why I wanted to talk about it. Like, it was podcast day, and I got this opportunity, and now, like, I have my own little side hustle of, you know, making money. And like, when we got down to, like, he's like, yeah, I want you to do this. Like, how much would you charge per episode? And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, what would you almost, which negotiating thing is what I would always do, is like, well, what do you want to pay me? Because odds are you're going to pay me more than I think I'm worth.
Right.
And that's what I did that I won't explain on air.
Yeah.
But he was like, how much would you charge? I'm like, I've been doing this for free for myself for years. And I think over the past year, I've really built up my sound quality. That's something that I pride myself when it comes to wrestling cheers, is people tell me, like, I really think, like, you put out a good quality product. Like, I the sound and everything's like great. And I know I have episodes where shit goes wrong, where maybe I fuck something up and, like, it's clipping off certain words when I edit it, and I can't go back and change any of it. Shit like that has happened. And especially even before I got this nice setup, and I was always recording with Pamela over Skype. Like, sometimes, like, I would be, there'd be like over modulated parts. And even when I compress them down, there's still that like pop of the recording. And it's like, I can't get, like, I hated those moments. But I think ever since I've invested into the sound and got not only a home studio, but I have a mobile setup, and that's something that they're going to be using, not mine, but you know, some of my recommendations, that, like, fuck it. Like, I know I'm worth something, and I know I've put out good product. So it's something
absolutely.
I'm
absolutely, well, you value for value, man.
Yeah. So
yeah, finally getting paid for it. That's great, dude.
Yeah. This wouldn't be without you.
Yeah. It's all me. I wouldn't have started this stuff without Dan the Cannon. So there you go. Comes full circle. If you want to get in touch with us, oldschoolmovies2@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at oldmovies.net. #OSATM. Wish me a happy belated birthday. Tell me what movies you're looking forward to seeing. And also, let us know if you could decide what villain should get their own standalone movie. Who would it be? And what are your arguments for that? So for Heavyset, this is Old School saying thank you very much for listening.
Before you see the third Halloween 2, that's right, isn't it? Be sure to revisit Halloween, the first one, not the new one, and not the other movie called Halloween. Oh, boy, this franchise is a mess. It's Halloween night in a small town, and everyone is horny. Like, super horny.
Okay, first I rip your clothes off, then you rip my clothes off, then we rip Lindsay's clothes off. Yeah, I think I got it.
I know you're joking, but Lindsay's a child, you creep. But this year, a killer is on the loose, and he's inventing or cementing every slasher cliche we'll get for the next 40 years. Like wearing a creepy mask, making spooky phone calls, only targeting suburban teenagers, only letting the final virgin girl survive, and eating dogs.
Dog? He got hungry.
Sorry, what's that? Myers the only one who actually eats the dogs? Probably for the best. Before Jamie Lee Curtis was a scream queen, her mom was in Psycho, making her a mere scream princess. Watch her goody-two-shoes Laurie try to survive the night with her friend Annie, an a-hole.
Ooh, Laurie, scared another one away.
And Linda, star of the drinking game. Take a shot every time Linda says totally.
Totally, 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 totally,
totally, totally, totally,
totally.
Totally. Yeah, totally the best Halloween ever, you guys. You're totally the Linda the best.
I love you so much.
Out to kill this Babysitter's Club is Michael Myers, one of cinema's most iconic mouth breathers. Forget Instagram, because he's stalking girls the old-fashioned way, standing in clear view of them, then somehow Batmaning into thin air when they're briefly distracted.
Hey, creep.
Laurie, the boogeyman is outside. Look!
But Michael is just a monster made by the film's real Frankenstein, Loomis, a psychiatrist with a very loose grasp of psychiatry.
I spent 8 years trying to reach him. And then another 7 trying to keep him locked up.
Who doesn't exactly follow the Hippocratic Oath. Really messed up this kid's face at some point. And doesn't even obey handicapped parking signs. Create an unstoppable killing machine? Okay, fine. But you are parked outside a medical facility, sir. Where is your placard?
Dick!
So strap in with one of the greatest horror films of all time. From Carpenter's masterfully tense directing and original score, to Deborah Hill's razor-focused writing and production, to Jamie Lee Curtis's star turn against a brand new horror icon. Just be sure to follow the upcoming sequel's lead and pretend none of the other movies ever happened. Trust us. Starring The Shape of Slaughter. Laurie strode up to the wrong house, that's for sure. Huh? Right? This guy knows what I'm talking about. Yeah, jokes are fun. Dr. Evil. Casey Affleck. The old man who knows the town's dark secret.
Old Charlie Bowles. He got himself a hacksaw, and he kissed his wife and his 2 children goodbye, and then he proceeded...
Where are we?
The horny friend. The somewhat less horny, but still kinda horny friend. And the mystery creeper in the back seat of this car while Michael drives.
Michael, look out! There's someone else in the back of the car! It's probably Loomis.
Adventures in Babysitting.
You know what the real horror is? Living in a home where your parents only buy you the Kirkland Select knockoff comic books.
Laser Man. Neutron Man, I can understand why. Tarantula Man.
Worst cinematic universe ever.